We take a moment and we ask the Lord to allow his word to penetrate our hearts, that it might not return to a void, but accomplish all it was sent to do. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for our scripture readings this weekend, which remind us of the commitment we are called to make to be your disciples, and to never place your will secondary in our lives. We pray through the grace of your Holy Spirit that you strengthen us to serve you, to be faithful, joyful in our service to the gospel. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So as you know, one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 5, I, through the greatness of your love, have access to your house. And I thought about that in context of the first reading. Who can know the ways of the Lord? Who can, you know, discern his plan and his will for our lives and everything? And because Jesus came down from heaven to teach us and to be the way, the truth, and the life, and then to give us the Holy Spirit, through the Father sending the Holy Spirit to us, we can know God's ways. And we can grow in wisdom, knowledge of God, and we can know the truth that sets us free. And what a privilege that is. But the perennial temptation we face in our spiritual journey is always putting God first and not making him secondary. And I remember a book I read years ago by then Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, a.k.a. Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, and I never forgot this passage, and I found it. And he says the following as far as putting God first. The germ of all temptation is setting God aside so that he seems to be a secondary concern when compared with all the urgent priorities of our lives. To consider ourselves, the needs and desires of the moment, to be more important than he is, that is the temptation that always besets us. For in doing so, we deny God his divinity, and we make ourselves, or rather the powers that threaten us, into our God. And that is the great temptation. So Jesus turned around, and realizing that a lot of people were curious about him, they'd heard he'd healed some people and all these miracles, and he turned around and cut them to the heart and said, this isn't just some superficial thing. You know, I want to get to your heart. I want you to love me and serve me with all your heart and realize that I come first, that God always comes first. Love God, love people. And so we're always tempted to make other things in our life an idol and to put God's concerns and what God is asking of us in second place. And I'll never forget this diagram. You can't see it because it's really small, but I'll explain it to you. This was introduced to me in 1988 during the Life in the Spirit seminar. I think it was part of our participation booklet. We had a little booklet. We had to do scripture readings during the week and journal and just answer some questions. But this was one of the diagrams, and I never forgot it. And it's called Living a Christ-Centered Life. So it has a circle and a chair in the circle, which represents the throne of our heart. So within the circle are our work, our family, hobbies, interests, for me, music, you know, different things that are part of our lives. And then there's a cross, which represents Christ. And often, you know, the cross is not sitting on the throne of the chair. It's not sitting on the chair because it's secondary. So other things come first in our lives, like our hobbies and relationships with other people and so forth. And so it talks about how when we put Jesus at the center of our lives, Christ is on the throne, the self is yielding to Christ's direction, and it results in harmony with God's plan. So our life is ordered towards God and towards love of people. And when Jesus is the center of our lives, that's how our lives work. We're much happier, fulfilled, we discern the things of value, Philippians 1:10, and we're able to live a life where we reflect the goodness and mercy of God to the people around us. But if we look at our world today, you know, growing in our faith, learning more about our Catholic faith is not the top priority for a lot of people. We have a huge education crisis in the Catholic Church. And you can just do like a little test online, Catholic proficiency exam or Catholic knowledge exam. And I clicked on one and I missed a couple, but there were like 50 questions. But it just basic things about our faith. Are we really educated in our faith? You know, Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And we have so many resources now available to us, but we can't grow in our faith unless we have the desire first in our heart. And I realized when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit that I was responsible for my faith life, and I can't sit back and blame other people. I didn't get a very good education in CCD. It was pretty watered down. And when I got into high school, my Baptist friends started asking me questions about being a Catholic. I was really dumb. I couldn't answer them. So I'd start going to the library after school and trying to research. This is before we had the catechism, so it was a little more challenging. We didn't have that wonderful resource available. But I would look up books and look in the Bible and try to find answers to the questions they were asking me, because I didn't learn any of that in CCD, the 8 years I was in it or whatever. And I realized, too, that I could either be bitter that I didn't get a good education and realize that I need to just pull up my own bootstraps and realize that I'm responsible for my faith and my relationship with Jesus Christ and growing in that. And now we have so many resources. And I want to, again, remind you of Formed. We just sent a bill off to them. I think it was $1,500 or $1,200. So we pay for that, and it has wonderful resources. You can grow in your faith, books on the internet you can listen to, videos, movies. Great movie on St. Augustine. We just had his memorial a few days ago. And so lots of things are available to us, but if you don't have that desire in your heart to put God first and to grow on that your faith is the most important thing to you, then it's not gonna work, right? It's like going to a smorgasbord and you're just happy with a little peanut or something, and there's a whole feast of food set before you. Don't you want the full meal deal? I don't want just the appetizer. I want the full meal deal, and I want to grow to be the most loving person God created me to be. And you too, right? Amen? So we pray for that desire to be stirred up in our hearts. Lastly, we have to make sure that we're forming disciples and not activists. When I was at Kennedy, you know, working there the last 3 years, and during one of the homilies I asked that, I said, are we forming activists or disciples? There's a big difference. An activist is one who recognizes all the injustices in the world and all the problems in the world and then takes it upon themselves to solve them all. But it's not rooted in prayer. It's not rooted in personal discernment. What is God asking me to do? What can I do in my own reality? So you're praying and the Lord is talking to you and guiding your life in a certain direction. An activist can get very angry because they don't see things changing fast enough. So they get very upset and they start judging other people because you're not part of my movement. And it's very divisive. And there's a real lack of joy because it's not rooted in God. Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, in vain do the laborers toil. And when I would go into the chapel to pray, there was hardly anyone there all the time. In the morning, we'd have morning prayer, maybe five people join us. We had the rosary, maybe five people join us. It just doesn't seem that they understand that unless you're rooting yourself on the foundation of Jesus Christ, this is not going to work out. And you're just an activist, but a disciple puts God first. Do you understand the difference? So I think in a lot of ways our Catholic institutions are raising activists. You know, people don't go to Mass, they don't pray, and so they think they can make a better world without God. We have thousands of years of history that show us that doesn't work. We have to put God first. And so we want to make sure that we're forming disciples who make a personal commitment to Jesus Christ, who welcome the gift of baptism in the Holy Spirit, and are empowered to discern what God is asking of them, because the enemy is just setting up a lot of traps for us and a lot of smoke screens to distract us. But that's the most beautiful thing, is that when we open our hearts to the Holy Spirit, He's our interior teacher, and He guides us and shows us how to respond to difficult situations, difficult people, and we pray in the Spirit, and we live our lives in a very different way, very different way. I want to end with a quote from St. Augustine, a man who had a very sordid past, you know, and he knew what it was like to live apart from God, and then he knew what it was like to live with God and with the Lord directing and guiding his life. And he had a lot of challenges in his life, but he never, ever stopped seeking the truth. And here's something he says that I think that I'd like to just put in our minds to think about this week, as far as our busy world where we're told, do this, do that, and we miss this point that he's talking about. He says the following: men go abroad to wonder at the heights of mountains, at the huge waves of the sea, at the long courses of the rivers, at the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motions of the stars, and they pass by themselves without wondering. They pass by themselves without wondering. Who am I? What is my purpose? Why am I here? A Christian is always interested in their destiny in Christ. So let's pray that the Holy Spirit help focus us and give us the joy of salvation. Amen.